Hi, everyone. Welcome to They Had Fun. I'm Rachel, and I'm back with another amazing story about New York City. And can you believe it? It is already the second to last episode of our second season. I can't even believe I'm saying second season. This is just, it's nuts. So we will be back on March 1st with our third season. Don't worry about that. We're going to have a lot of great stories about New York City, of course. But, you know, with the first season, we were getting our bearings. That would be a nice way of saying it. And I think we did like, 17, 18 episodes. It didn't make any sense. I didn't know when to stop. So for this second season and for all seasons moving forward, we will be doing a lovely dozen, 12 exactly. So next week will be our last and final one for the second season. Then we'll come back on March 1st for our third season. And I'm going to give you a little insider info right now, okay? I can't give away all the details, but you might want to tune in next week to hear some details about a possible premiere party, okay? So don't forget about that. Very excited, big timing over here at They Had Fun. Three seasons in, might be a little party. So that's just a quick announcement about that. Be sure to tune in next week and you'll get all of the details. So let's get started on our Rachel's Rex for this week. I'm going to give you my choice up first, okay? And this is one that I am truly passionate about. I finally went after a very long time of wanting to go, and that is Huerta's on First Avenue. They specifically have an absolutely wonderful happy hour. It goes every day. You heard that right. Every single day that they're open till 6:30. I went last week with some friends. We got some lovely drinks. They have sherry by the glass. How often do you see that? Also on the happy hour menu. They have some wonderful wines for $8 a glass. But most importantly, they have all this delicious food on the happy hour menu. It's incredible. They have half price, like little snacks and everything. You can get some delicious cheeses. You can get like some croquetas. Comes with like chips and bread and everything. I just had a great time. I don't know. It's truly going to become one of my go-to happy hour spots in the city. I had a blast. Highly recommend it. Huerta's, First Ave, I think it's at like St. Mark's or 8th Street or something like that. Go check it out. I think you'll have a good time. Okay, our second Rachel's Rec is, of course, as we've been talking about on the last few episodes, our listener's choice. So on Fridays, we've been putting out a call to you, asking you to ask us questions for some recommendations. And I think really what it pinpoints ultimately is that I am just the absolute know-it-all of all know-it-alls that I think I can tell everyone. But I don't know, the case has turned out to be true. So what are you going to do about it? Some of us have a skill set in life and we just have to run with it. So I've been loving getting these questions. They've been so fun. And the one that stuck out to me this week that I really liked was a request for a new-ish natural wine bar. So, you know, there's a lot of wonderful wine bars in the city. And as avid listeners of the podcast know, I'm a huge wine fan. Of course, shout out to Company, one of my all-time favorite bars in New York City. But for a new-ish one, I was going to give a recommendation, Winona's in Brooklyn. Okay, they opened like right during the pandemic or maybe right before, I don't remember. I went there recently, finally, this is the theme, I went after I've been wanting to go, with a friend, sat at the bar. Okay, and so what I said to her, which is the most important part, the room, the food, the people working there was just absolutely incredible. Got a bottle of wine. The food was delicious. All of that, the vibe of the room gave me the feeling of old school Four Horsemen, or like Four Horsemen when it first opened. And I still love Four Horsemen. It's a great wine bar, but you know, they got a Michelin star and wonderful for them. It's just a little bit different now. It's a little bit harder to get a reservation. I still love it there. But Winona's was giving me that feeling like right at the beginning, you know, you can still get a spot. They still have delicious food. Everyone who's working there is so wonderful. So I don't know. I had a blast. I was so impressed. It's going to truly become one of my go-tos. Winona's, Brooklyn. It's on Flushing Ave. I think technically it's still in Williamsburg. It's like right on that cutoff, that tip between Bed-Stuy and Williamsburg all the way south. Anyways, go there. Have a blast. Sorry, maybe that both of our recs this week involve places for you to get drunk, but what do you want me to do, guys? The name of the show is They Had Fun. If you listen in, you know what we're doing. That's what we're doing. So don't forget on Friday to go to our stories and ask us a question. I would love to hear some new things. You know, a lot of people are asking about like food and drink recommendations, and of course, love that. But I also would love to get something like, no one really asks about, you know, where's the best taco stand in Corona? I got one for you. Come ask me. Where is the best place to get some really authentic Ukrainian food in Coney Island? I don't know, anything. Go ahead and ask us some questions. We can spend time outside of Manhattan and Williamsburg. You know, I love both of those places myself, but it's always very important to go check out all of the things that New York offers to us, right? That's what we've learned from this podcast. So what do you think I'm going to say? I don't know how else to end these segments. It's always the same thing. Go out and have some fun. And I really, truly mean that. I hope you go out and enjoy Huerta's. I hope you go out and have fun at Winona's. all of those things. Let's get into our show for today. My guest, I can say this with all sincerity, is a world-renowned artist, okay? Some of his murals have been featured. Here we go. Dubai, London, Paris, Sweden, Los Angeles. The list goes on and on, but most importantly, you can see some of his incredible work right here in the greatest city in the world, folks, New York City. Please welcome to the show, Beau Stanton.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. What, I'm wondering if me naming all of the places where your artwork has been featured, if you feel really excited about that, if you feel embarrassed, if you sit back and think, wow, how did I do all of that?
I mean, it's not all of the places, but it's probably the best places that you mentioned.
A sprinkling.
Yeah, no, those were the highlights for sure. Yeah. No, it's great. It's very satisfying work. I feel very lucky.
You shouldn't feel lucky. Like, you do incredible work. So it only makes sense that it would be featured in all of these places and that people would love all of this work. Like I said, there's been all of these cities, but naturally on They Had Fun, we want to focus on the New York City focused ones. So a few places that you've been featured here, just right off the top, Fort Defiance in Brooklyn and Gadfly in the city. And Gadfly is a bar and Fort Defiance is
also a bar. Yeah. Yes. There's like a weird pattern emerging here.
Also, it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with me, to leave it to me to like pick out of all of your body of work, two places that happen to be bars.
Well, you left one really important one out, which is pretty recent. It's called the Sunken Harbor Club.
Ooh.
And it's above Gage and Tolner, which recently reopened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I did a big mermaid painting behind the bar in the Sunken Harbor Club.
Oh, wow. That is incredible. Yeah. It's such like an old classic New York City place of Gage and Tolner. I didn't know that you did that. So that's so awesome to know. Just another one on the list. How was that working in there? What did you feel like this aura of like the history of New York City around you?
Yeah, it's a pretty trippy place. I got to kind of come along for the ride for a lot of the restoration process and the fundraising. And then also when the pandemic hit and everyone thought that the place was going to implode and never open, it was a lot of ups and downs, but now it's doing great. And it's really satisfying to sit inside of that place.
Oh, I'm sure it's doing great. And it's also very hard to get a reservation. So congrats to them.
I know a guy if you need one.
Okay, great. We'll let all the listeners, if they had fun, know Beau has a guy if he needs one. Well, it would be easy, I guess, for me to start off and say, you know, like, how did you get started doing your artwork and all of that? But I assume, you know, you went to art school or something like that. So I'm more interested to know, my first question is always, when did you move to New York and why did you move to New York? And I have a feeling those will lead us a bit into your history as an artist and a muralist. So let's start with the first question, which is always, when did you move to New York?
I moved to the city in 2008.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in California and that's also where I studied art. And so I moved to the city just like a couple of months after I got my BFA. And so when I got here, it was in August and it was about a month before the crash happened. So it was not an easy time to get a job doing anything, let alone in art. So it was rough for a minute there, but I got a lucky break and I responded to a Craigslist ad.
Oh, Craigslist is just the savior of everyone's New York young story.
It's been very, very good to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Craigslist. So the ad was advertising that an artist was looking for a studio assistant. And, you know, upon a little more investigation, it was an artist that I was familiar with. His name's Ron English. And so he spent a lot of his time in Texas before moving to the city in the mid-80s. He's a really interesting guy. He kind of pioneered a lot of the street art stuff by sort of hijacking billboards and putting up his own subversive advertising that would skewer consumerism or conservative politicians or cigarette companies and things like that.
Awesome.
So I started working for him and he was doing a lot of work that was kind of like, it was right before the Obama election. Well, the first time that Obama was elected, right, in 2008. Mm. And so he was doing a lot of these billboards that were, you know, kind of talking about the politics of the time. And we were out kind of late one night at Lit Lounge. I don't know if you remember that place.
Oh, yes. Yes. Featured before on the podcast, Lit Lounge. Oh,
I'm sure, naturally. So I think we went to an art opening and then ended up at the after hours at the back of Lit Lounge and everybody was pretty drunk. And so I had never done anything illegal for Ron before. It was kind of like, everything was like on the up and up. You know, I would always just, I'd show up 9 to 5. I'd commute from Red Hook to Jersey City every day.
Wow.
And I'd work and I'd paint in the studio. And then occasionally we would do some wheat paste or some small like little mural pieces. And so I thought it would be a great night to do my first illegal billboard for Ron.
Oh, wow.
And there was another guy there who was doing videography for him. And he happened to have some of these billboards rolled up in his apartment. So at about 3 a.m., we left lit, went to his apartment, got the wheat paste, got the billboards, and went to the Bedford L stop. You know, there's a billboard right above where you walk into the subway.
Yeah.
And you start putting this thing up. And it was a particularly amusing piece because it was meant to look like a Viagra ad, but it had a photo of John McCain and his wife. Rest in peace, you know, John McCain, like great guy. And it said John McCain and his wife, and it said, "I want to be erected." And then Viagra. Yeah. So it's typical Ron humor, you know, and we're putting this thing up and you're on the stairs. It's wheat paste is falling down. The stuff's very slippery and I'm standing on the railing and this other guy's trying to hold me up, but we're pretty inebriated. And at some point we fall down the stairs, slip on this wheat paste.
Oh my God.
The thing is about halfway up. So the image is kind of like not quite all the way up on this billboard.
Half erected, you might say.
Yes, one might say that. leaving that to you. So as this is happening, we're kind of getting our footing. We're still trying to get this thing all the way applied to the surface. And the cops show up.
Oh, of course.
And so at this point, there was two options. It was, you know, figure it out, talk our way out of it, or try to get away. And the other guy I was with opted to stay and I opted to leave. And so but there's a subway, you know, I just ran into the subway, you know? So I ran into the subway.
You ran into the subway? That was your getaway?
Well, there was a train arriving.
Oh, lucky you.
So I happened to get there as a train was arriving, got on the train, and I went home. And so I didn't know what happened to my friend, but I got on the train. And as I'm sitting there, I mean, at this point, it's almost like early commuter hour.
Yeah.
And I'm 22 years old and I'm sitting there and I realized that people are kind of scooting away from me and looked like I was the guy that people were scooting away from because I was covered in this goo, which is wheat paste, and blood because I had fallen and cut my hands. So it was a good first experience, but doing the illegal work was never my thing. I was just kind of like had enough liquid courage that night to try it out. And it didn't go so well.
Were those people mad at you that you left them or were they like, nah, it was the right choice to make?
Yeah, he was fine. I think he did get arrested.
Oh my God.
It wasn't a big deal. You know,
they were used to having done so many outdoor things. Yeah, exactly. So you just showed back up to work like on Monday and you're like, "Hey guys," and they're like, "I spent the night in jail," but they weren't mad at you.
Well, I mean, Ron wasn't there. He was not aware of this whole thing. He could disavow.
Okay.
Yeah, this was just some other person who would do filming with us. So
it's a classic, like coming to New York and you're like, "I'm climbing up the ranks here. Like, this is my tale." And then you're like, going to get arrested being out on the street.
Right. Well, you know, in the whole like street art muralism world, a lot of people did practice graffiti before doing murals. And sometimes it leads into this, you know, it's art created in public and it's utilizing public space. And that was never my background. You know, I was oil painting when I was 10 and playing the violin. I was like, not a bad kid. I was not an urban kid. I grew up in like a sunny Southern California suburb. So it was kind of my only foray into doing that. And it was fun, but it was also, yeah, this isn't really me. You know, this is not.
I'm only going to do the sanctioned stuff from now on out to make sure I don't get arrested. Now, I'm wondering if, and this is okay, but I'm just curious, is this your most fun New York story or this is your story of moving to New York?
Oh, yeah, no. That was my story.
I figured it was because as we're going, I'm like, this is so funny and like wild. And it's this night in New York and you're young. But it was it's a good lesson that you're teaching us of not being so rigid about the rules in which and the way that the show does its formula.
Sure.
So it's perfect. So I love that we just got the story like right off the bat. It's a great story. And it's a story of like being like a young kid in New York. I don't know. It's very interesting all around, you know, like early mid 2000s, like Brooklyn and doing illegal art out on the street. But I also just find it so interesting about you moving here and immediately getting this job with someone that possibly you like looked up to was like pretty decent in the art world, finding it on Craigslist. I do think it sounds like such an odd tale now in like 2022, but I do really think it is a relatable tale for a lot of people who moved here at that time.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is a story of emblematic tale of what my introduction to the city, but it was also a lot of fun.
It sounds weird. Yeah. It sounds weird to say that, you know, you might have got arrested and could have possibly been fired from your job if they were upset with you, but it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And you were drinking. Exactly. And you were, I mean, and like a classic story of that time, you were at Lit Lounge and like doing all these things. I think it's a great story. I think it's super fun. I'm wondering if we should jump into the why did you move to New York? Yeah, why not? Let's do that in the middle and let's go to the why did you move to New York? I'm assuming it has something to do with art and being in the greatest city in the world, possibly for art. But is there any other reasons besides that?
You nailed it. No, that's pretty much it. So when I was 18, like right after I graduated high school, I planned this trip to backpack through Europe. And that was something that I was planning for like 2 years. You know, I was obsessed with it. I wanted to go to the Louvre and see all the, you know, all of the amazing art that I had learned about and looked up to since I was a little kid. And it was great. I had a great time. I was there for about 6 weeks. And I ended up coming back and then taking a trip for a long weekend to New York, like maybe 6 months later. And at that point, I realized that this city has the cultural, you know, treasures and has the energy and has the feeling of a city, but it's also familiar. And at that point, I realized that New York was the place that I needed to move to. So that was my plan in college. And I came back here a few more times and then eventually found a friend who had already moved here who had an opening in the apartment. So one of the rooms was available. And so that was kind of my foot in the city. It was definitely motivated by, you know, my love of like being in a European city, something so different than growing up in California, but I wasn't probably going to move to Europe.
Yeah.
So New York being an international city and also being such an incredible place to experience art and meet people that are working in the art world, and a place that, you know, a lot of people might challenge me on this now, but it still feels like the center of the art world in a lot of ways. And so I just knew that I had to move here if I was going to pursue a career in art.
Wow. I love that. It's very heartfelt, and it's very like, I know that feeling of being like, this is the only place to be. And I love the story of you deciding to come here and kind of making a different choice for your life and seeing how it could work out for you. And it seems like it really worked out. And you're so lucky that you had a friend with an apartment for you to move into as well, because I feel like that's one of the hardest things for people who first move here is finding somewhere to live. So it's nice you had somewhere to go.
Yeah, that was about the extent of my plan, really. I was just like, you know, I'll figure out the rest when I get there.
You're like, no one get confused here. I didn't have some master plan. I just thought I like it here and someone has a room for me. So that works.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I love that story. I think it's super fun. It checks all the boxes. Early 2000s New York, illegal artwork, being a young kid, leaving your friends behind and letting them get arrested and not yourself. And so now I need to ask you the last question of the show, which is, what is your favorite thing about New York City?
I could see how all the common things would be like, oh yeah, you can find any kind of food, or, right, you know, there's just amazing things to do all the time. But I think I'm going to make my answer a little bit more specific about exactly where I live, because Red Hook is such a unique little neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's such a strange place. And actually, I've lived here since 2008. I actually have never lived in another neighborhood.
Wow.
And it's pretty insane, right? I've only lived in 3 different apartments.
Wow.
I've had my same studio for 12 years. First studio in New York, still have it.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And it's because I just love this neighborhood so much. And what's so special about it is, the stereotypical thing is like, oh, New York's not just a big city. It's a bunch of little villages all cobbled together.
Yes.
And that is particularly true for Red Hook. One, because it is kind of isolated. It's got water on 3 sides and kind of cut off by the BQE, and it's isolated from the subway. It's a little hard to get to. So it's retained its kind of like old character. Mm-hmm. But also it's full of weird characters. It's like a small town. So you kind of have this fun little small town that's quiet and you can go back to, but then you're still so close to the city. So it's almost like a best of both worlds. So you can have community where everybody knows each other. You go to the bar, you're going to run into like 10 people, you know, and in winter it's just dead. You know, so there's no people on bicycles coming down from Williamsburg. It's like, it's just only locals. And at the same time, you're just right on the, I can take the ferry and be in lower Manhattan in like 15 minutes. I think it's just a really special city for a number of those stereotypical reasons, but the thing that really keeps me here is my neighborhood.
I love that answer so much. We haven't had an answer like that of just my neighborhood. And even furthermore, Red Hook. Like, I love that that is your answer. Like, what I love most about New York is my neighborhood, the people surrounding me, the way it feels to me. It's a thing that's kept me here. I think it's such a beautiful statement on how people feel about New York and specifically about where they choose to live. And I love that answer. And I think it's a wonderful answer about New York. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for sharing your art with all of us in the city. I was so lucky to have you and I love your story.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
I think it has. But of course, most of all, thanks New York. They had fun.